All right. Good to see you out again today. Some of you going to finally get settled back in after Labor Day. Is that right? All right. If you were not here last week, this is a continuation and will be for a few more weeks until we start our small group campaign together. This is built on last week and it will be in the next few weeks. So if you did not hear that, if you go back and listen on the internet, some of this might follow a little bit better, but I'll try to tie it in as much as I can, because Paul is dealing with the church at Corinth, which you know had a lot of problems. And the first one he deals with that he started with last week is that they had bought into the world system and had rather listened to philosophers and media people, if you want to translate it to our day and time, that have no clue what the cross meant or Christ, and they were wanting to follow them instead of Paul. So that was the issue at hand, and he continues on with that. He hasn't changed. He's still talking about the cross and the message of the cross. In verse 18, he said, because the message of the cross to those who are lost is foolishness, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. And so we'll see how that comes down to us quickly. I realize, as always, we have more information than we have time to share it, so I'll be skipping over some of it, but you have most of it in your handout, so you can take it with you. R.G. Lee was the pastor at Bellevue Baptist Church for many, 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 many years before Adrian Rogers followed him, and then Adrian passed away. But R.G. Lee was one that everyone knew would never back up once he said something. It didn't matter how much pressure. He's not like, you know, people are today. Someone complains about something now in the media and everybody backs up. It's happening on our own convention where people won't take a stand anymore. But he was not one of those, you know. And one day he had preached a very, very hard sermon on sin. And one of the ladies met him back there and said, I don't like what you said. And he says, neither does the devil. You need to classify yourself. Where are you? You know, if you really like, if you don't like what I said, the devil doesn't like it either. Maybe you're in that camp. Basically, that's what he does today, because he says, only through the power of the Holy Spirit can you understand the message of the cross. And I guess I need to start and say, well, how do we get that Holy Spirit? You may be sitting here and you don't have a clue what we're talking about when we say the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was the third person of the Trinity. When Jesus said, he said, you remember, the disciples, and he said, I'm about to go away. And they said, well, we know you're going away, and you'll always come back, or we'll go with you. He said, no, you can't go. and he said, and he went on, and they got kind of intense about it. He said, but when I go away, meaning when he dies on the cross and is ascended, I will send, we translated the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete. He said, I will send myself back to be with you, the Holy Spirit. So the moment you trust Christ and ask him for forgiveness, the Holy Spirit, his Spirit, comes and lives inside of you. And it is through that avenue that we have an understanding what the cross means and how it translates into, if I have committed myself to the cross, my pagan lifestyle has to change. And that's what he comes down to. And he says, I can't believe you. He said, how is it that you'd rather, because remember what they did last week? They said, oh, Paul, you're not anyone that we can follow because you don't charge. How about that? Because remember, again, if you missed last week, the philosophy of the day was the really good philosophers and the, you know, the ones who set the value system for the world and the ones we want to follow, they would meet out in the center places of the town. And after a while, when they got better, they'd have a lot of students, so they would charge more. And Paul didn't charge them. So they said, well, your message must not be any good. So we're going to follow this world system instead of you, because evidently you don't have much to say. And Paul is really, this is where he confronts them serious. He said, I can't believe y'all. You're going to follow someone who doesn't even believe the cross, and yet you call yourself Christians. So that, really, that's where he comes down, and it's difficult, but how true it is. Because he says, without the Holy Spirit, none of this makes any sense. It's called foolishness. And what happens is, if we really don't believe that, that's why we live a pagan life. That's why we really don't care how we live, because we don't really understand how close The cross is tied to our lives being transformed. Because if you say, I'm committed to the cross, and your life hasn't been changed for him, you're talking out of both sides of your mouth. Something ain't right. So that's why R.G. Lee said, you need to check yourself, lady. If you don't agree with what the Bible says about sin and you're mad with me, you need to classify yourself. You're in the wrong camp. So that's where that is. That's a summation of the sermon in a nutshell. Y'all ready to go home? We're not. Okay. All right. Quickly. The cross and the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2, and this is, again, he doesn't change. He's still talking about the center thing is the message of the cross. It's not, some try to separate and say, oh, well, he's changed tunes. No, he's talking about something else. No, he isn't. He's talking about understanding that through the power of the Holy Spirit. However, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world to our glory, which none of the princes of this world, no philosophers, no supposedly smart people can understand it. And even the ones in his day, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. You know, if the Sanhedrin, if Pilate, if Caiaphas had really understood the mystery, if they had really understood the Messiah, would they have killed him on the cross? No. That's exactly the point he's making. He said, why you want to follow these pagans out here who will look at the cross and say it's foolishness? But it is written, eye has not seen and nor ear heard, neither it entertained the heart of entered the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. You know, we hear this verse always at funerals, and that's okay, but that's not really what it means. It means God has foreordained a mystery about the cross long before anyone was ever alive, and he's explained it to us now that Messiah, Jesus, has been crucified. And up until that moment, it was always hidden throughout the Old Testament. They didn't really get it. They didn't see it because there was only things, as we'll see in a moment, in the tabernacle, in the temple that pointed toward who he was, but still it was a mystery that was shaded over, and they really couldn't get it. But God has revealed them to us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all the things, yes, the deep things of God. So what does that mean? Without being saved, without trusting Christ, there is no Holy Spirit in you. Therefore, you will never really get what the cross means and how it transforms your life. So if you're trying to do it on your own, in your flesh, guess what? You'll always be an alcoholic. Or you'll always be a drug somebody. You'll never change that on your own, basically is what he's saying. Because you can't separate the message of the cross from a transformed life. And you'll never put it together on your own. I don't care how smart you are, how big a philosopher. For what man knows the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of who knows no man but the Spirit of God. You know, well, I know exactly, and here's the issue, and we have it all over today. Well, when you get up here on a spiritual level like we are, then you'll understand all this stuff and you'll agree with us. You ever heard that? It's real, real strong in a lot of charismatic situations. Oh, we're just going to pray for you because you got to get up to our level. You're not there now. We're up here in the spiritual elite, and you're not there yet. But once you get up there where we are, you agree with us. And then some of the nonsense that goes with it, okay? Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. You know how that works? Even my wife, as much as she knows me, she doesn't know everything down deep inside of me. And not that I'm trying to hide anything. But the only person who really knows me is who? Me, as far as this world goes. Oh, does God know? Oh, yeah. So the only way we can really know God and what he is about is that his spirit is living inside of us. You know, and he reveals that to us. That is the only way. But it's never to put us up there, well, you know, we're more spiritual than you are. I don't know if you've ever had to encounter some of those people. I have quite often in my lifetime. And they'll say, oh, well, especially if it deals with the things that the Corinthians were going crazy with. Well, this gift of this and this gift of that. And they were elevating all that stuff up. And they went up in everybody because, well, when you get here where we are, then you'll do all this stuff. And he says, no, that's not the way that works. He said, you can't understand these things. And remember, they're following the world system that doesn't even believe in the cross rather than Paul, who has always preached to them the message of the cross. You know, it's easy to buy into some system brand new, and there are plenty of them that comes out every day in the book, and they've got some kind of reverence name behind it. But it's a whole new brand idea that makes you feel good about yourself without getting rid of your sin. You see how that works? That's exactly what Paul's talking about. Why would you follow these fools who don't even believe in the message of the cross and say that you won't follow me who pushes only? What did he say last week? I resolved only to preach the message of the cross. I didn't get into all those philosophies. I didn't get into all that stuff just to speak the message of the cross. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world. He's going to separate it quickly. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself judges of no man. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? Wow. You say, what all is he talking about? Basically that. There's no way we can grasp all the significance of what the cross means in our life if you're not saved. You know, because there's a lot of people. You know, there's a lot of people who say, oh, yeah, I'm saved. And you start asking yourself, well, okay, how did you get saved? You know, if you know what that means, how did you get? Well, I was baptized. That don't mean anything. Well, I'm a member of the church. That don't mean anything. Well, I've been teaching a Bible study. That don't mean anything either. None of that means anything. You know, that's it. Only the Holy Spirit can help us understand, therefore, how many people think they're really, really saved, and they're not. And that's exactly the issue Paul has with these guys. Why would you follow this nonsense? Well, there's a lot of nonsense out there right now. In the name of Jesus. Holy, Reverend, Honorable Benny Hinn. Did y'all see what he did this week? He so-called renounced his health and wealth prosperity gospel for only about 2 days. Because I don't know what you call it. It's always keeping eyes on people. What do you call them? I don't know what you call them. Anyway, you know, he, and I watched some of it, his thing, what he said. You know, I was wrong, and I wasn't as smart 20 years ago as I am now, and the prosperity gospel is, that's not good, and we can't do that. And then 2 days later, he goes on there, and he's begging for money to help him get out of his debt. So he's just found him another way to try to get money from people. So anything really changed? Time will tell. And that's one of those groups who think they're up there above some of us. And when we get on their level, then we'll understand that they're right and we're wrong. Paul says, that's not right. That's not it at all. Quickly. Some have God's wisdom and some do not. The mature in this context are the word perfect. You know, and some of them just say, well, when you get where we are, when you get spiritual like us, you'll be perfect and you'll understand that we're right and that then you'll follow us and you won't follow Paul. You know, that's the issue. Just keep that in mind, okay? Must refer to all the Christians, because Paul hasn't changed his message. He's still talking about all those who understand the message of the cross and that it's important to them, who cherish the message of the cross over against the world that rejects it. Why? Because it's foolishness. It always has been. It still is. You know, you start talking about a cross, they don't have a clue what it is. What do you mean? No, I don't want just a cross. I want one with a little man on it. They don't know what that means. They don't have any clue what that means. All Christians are mature in the core sense that they have come to understand with the message of the cross, while others, by definition, they don't have a clue what that means. You know, when do you understand the cross, the message of the cross? It means that you are a sinner. And I am a sinner, and we are against a holy God, and he chose a foolish way to restore us to himself. He came and died to pay the price for us. Everyone doesn't understand that. If we did, we'd live differently. See, that's the issue Paul's making. Do you really understand the tie to the message of the cross and how if you really get that, your life's transformed? Just can't do the same thing. Just doesn't work that way. He will not allow it. You know, the Holy Spirit doesn't allow it. The message of Christ crucified is the fundamental. What did Paul tell us last week? They're not Jews and there's not Greeks and there's not pagans. There's lost people and saved people. That's the only way he looked at them. He says what? The ones that are saved And the ones that are lost, the power of the, what he said, the message of the cross to the foolish, to those who are being saved, and to and the foolishness to those who are lost, but it's power of God, who are just two classes of people. It's a dividing line. Always has been. Always will be. Those who accept God's message of the wisdom do not belong to this age. What does that mean? I do not allow the world system to tell me how I can live my life. That's what that means. The philosophers of the age that he talked about last week, it's the same thing. It is the best ones that the world has to offer, yet they don't have any relationship to the cross. They don't believe the cross. They just want to tell you how to live your life. Isn't that right? Remember, one of our friends sent me the link, and I actually read the issue, the article, and some of you may have seen it, where the guy was fired by one of the big colleges in California. He was a paleontologist, and he had discovered years ago the largest big single horn on one of these big animals. I forgot what it is. It's kind of like the one that looks like a rhinoceros. That horn. And he had discovered in Montana the largest one that had ever been found. Well, they took it back and they analyzed it, and it came to a conclusion that the thing was full of soft tissue. And what that means is it ain't been there 65 million years. And it does away with our evolution. So guess what the school did? Because he published a couple articles out there, and they couldn't have that, so they fired him. So through several years of lawsuit, they finally had to come back and wouldn't go to court with him because they knew they were going to lose, so they paid him $400,000. Why? Because he's not like the rest of the world now, and we have Bible, supposedly, understanding Bible Baptists who have succumbed to the media. Why? Because now they think, well, just because he made a mistake 50 years ago, we're going to just defrock him. Is anyone in here never made a mistake? Is any of those nuts out there who are calling us ever made a mistake? This week, I didn't read the whole thing. I just read enough of it. I knew him years and years ago. I knew he was. I'm really not a comedian fan. But this guy, Dave Chappelle, y'all know who that is? How you say it? Chappelle. African-American comedian. And the little part I read was, man, I don't know if he did it on HBO or somewhere, but the Hollywood has disowned him because he went out there. Did anyone see that? And he just kind of went out there and said, all you people finally woke up. Now you're going to go back there and find one thing I did 10 years ago, and you're going to crucify me for it. And boy, he was lambasting them over it. Why? Because it ain't right. And that's what's happened. When everyone gives in to the pressure of the system outside of Jesus, that's what happens. We have some that I used to respect, and now they're in the toilet as far as I'm goes. Friends of mine who, you know, when all this stuff goes on, well, you know, the police are being got bad about the against the black guys and all these other people. Well, when you look at all the stats, what's wrong? Something's wrong. So they lambast the policeman without even knowing the situation. So what are they doing? They're just buying into the rest of the system. Everybody else said, oh, this is where we have to do it now. No, it's not. That's what Paul says. It doesn't matter what the world says. They're fools because they don't believe the cross. And yet you're not going to believe me, he says, when I am pushing the message of the cross that Jesus alone and his Holy Spirit gives us the wisdom to understand it. You see the difference? By the way, how many of us in here, what do we do that we shouldn't be doing because everyone else in the system says it's okay? People you go to school with, people you work with, people do these things, and they say, well, you know, that's really all right. And you know already some about the cross, but instead of living that, you give into it. Paul said, that's what you Corinthians are doing. I can't believe this. How is it you're that foolish? Why? Because the ones out there in the world, the best that they have, guess what? It's not good enough, as we saw last week. The wisdom of the cross in contrast to the wisdom of the world. Is there a difference? Oh, my heavens. The wisdom is a mystery. You know what a mystery is? Why you can't understand your 16-year-old? Or your 30-year-old? Or your spouse? It's a mystery. Covered up in an enigma. Ain't that what? What's his name? No, way before Jim Carrey. Prime Minister, good night, Britain. Churchill said that. It's all wrapped up. It's a mess. Right. He said it was a mystery. And that's what it was. Hidden. that has been hidden for a long time, but now has been revealed. Look at these two verses in Romans where he talks about, now to him that is a power of establish you according to my gospel, that's what he's been sharing, and the preaching of Jesus according to the revelation of the mystery. Revelation means what? It's now understandable. Now we see it. It's been revealed. Which was kept secret since the world began. Wow. But now is made manifest or open, and the scripture of the prophets according to the commandment of the everlasting God made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. What does that mean? It means this. Believing the Old Testament scripture is not enough. Do you think Paul believed the Old Testament scripture? He was killing people for it. Why? Because he didn't think Jesus was the Messiah. And these people who were pushing it, that's why when he was going to Damascus, he was going to get papers to have the Christians killed. He was already killing them. And when Jesus, did he know the Old Testament? Better than anyone. You know, he knew. He knew it backwards and forwards. Remember what he says, his pedigree in Philippians? He said, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He still spoke Hebrew. He said, faultless. You can't find anything wrong with me. He was a Pharisee. He knew the law. But guess what? He didn't understand the Messiah. So just because you know the Bible doesn't mean you're saved. Just because you've been in church all life doesn't mean you're saved. Are you trying to make us doubt? No, I'm just trying to make you make sure you know. That's all I'm trying to do. Why? Because the devil would fool anyone just like he was fooling the Corinthians. Paul passionately believed the validity of the Old Testament, but it did not ensure that he found or recognized the message of the crucified Messiah, because he didn't until Jesus confronted him on the road to Damascus. And when he did, he had to reevaluate his whole system, and everything changed. Wow. That's the message of the cross. And without the Holy Spirit, and guess what? Remember, just keep this simple. The moment you trust Christ, the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of you. That's the only way you get it. You know, you can't buy it. Someone can't lay hands on you and give it to you. It only comes when you trust Christ. And they knew that much. Not until he met Jesus did everything change. The point is that however much the Old Testament points to Jesus, much of it was veiled. You know what? In all the sacrifices, whenever they would have these things, they had everything pointed to Jesus, but it did not explain who Jesus was until Jesus was crucified. It was hidden. It was a mystery. You know? You ever figure that out in some of your children's lives? You know, you get to wonder, why would they do that? And then after a while, some things are revealed, and you say, oh, now I get it. She's just crazy. That's all that is, right? No, I'm joking. Well, it may be, but, you know. Now I understand it. Some things, now you can see them that you couldn't see then. That's what he meant. There are types and shadows, all that stuff in Leviticus. You know, it pointed toward it, but it never clarified. That's why when Abraham, what did he do? He just trusted God. He said, by faith, God, I'm going to trust you. He didn't know all that stuff. He didn't know any of that stuff. But he trusted. God said, will you trust me and do what I say by faith? And he said, yeah, I will. It's that simple. The most astonishing folly for the Corinthians and for us was to adopt the positions espoused by the esteemed authorities, the philosophers of the day, whether that's CNN or some other nut out there on the internet or the television who think they got it all figured out. Doesn't really matter. That's what it is. You know, where do you get all your influence from? Do you get it from news? Do you get it from the Bible? Do you get it from, who do you get it from? You could put that there in that place. To adopt the positions espoused by those that are out there, believed by everybody, in a culture who doesn't even believe in God. Wow. Are we there? Yes, we're there. If you don't think that's what's going on in our society right now, it was like Paul said, wait a minute. Yeah, this is Byron in 2019, because that's exactly the same thing. And without the Holy Spirit, we don't see it. We think we're doing okay. Paul said, man, I can't believe that. What's wrong? Don't you have that? How wretched and foolish it is to honor the siren opinion makers of our day when they have no clue what the cross is about. Why? Because they don't have the Holy Spirit to help them understand it, basically. God's immeasurably wise plan of redemption has been revealed. And guess what? People still don't believe it. I remember older gentleman who had given actually John Stott's book, Basic Christianity, and what's the other guy had one as well. and gave it to a very, very intellectual lady, and she read it, and she said, kind of, so what? And over a period of months, when talking with her and explaining some things, then she got it and became a Christian. But just reading it out there doesn't do it. You know, that's not the way it works. Without trusting Christ first, we never understand some of these things, and some of them we won't understand. I remember, 10 years ago now, when I was in Israel for that trip, along with 35 other preachers, and half of them didn't know Jesus. It's pretty evident. You can see that. Anyway, in Dallas, was there just last year or this year? This year. Wow. And I remember, you know, we're going across the Sea of Galilee in a boat like Jesus was in, except ours had a motor. So guess what? It wasn't a boat like Jesus was in. But that's what they're trying to duplicate. And we're going across, and it's going real slow. And, you know, the Sea of Galilee is pretty wide, so it takes a while. So everybody just kind of, and the boat's big enough that all of us are on it. So Ezra, our guide, who's a born Jew, not a reborn Jew, but a born Jew, who's been our guide for all this time, and it's phenomenal what he knows about Israel and about Jesus. And he quotes these verses, and we go to this place, and he talks about this stuff. So, you know, we're just went back there, and I'm not being hostile or anything. I said, well, tell me something, Ezra. All this stuff that you know, it doesn't do anything to your heart. He said, oh, no, it's just facts. That was my question. How can you be around all this, know all this about Jesus, and not be born again? He said, it's just facts. Why? Because there's no Holy Spirit there in him. And that's the way that is. So what happens is, if that's your case or my case, we operate on a system outside of Jesus, and sometimes we don't even realize it. We're just doing what everybody else does. Paul says, I can't believe y'all. Why in the world would you follow them instead of me? If we, the mature, have come to grasp, it is because God has revealed it to us by His Spirit. What does that mean? There's a lot of theology in this little idea. I'm going to just throw a real little quick piece out there. You know, there's two main divisions in what we call Protestant, and that's Calvinism and Arminianism. And this is just a real shallow explanation of it, all right? You know, one of them says that we're born with the ability to go to God on our own. You know, we're not that deprived or depraved. And then the other group says, oh, no, we're totally depraved. You know, we can't do it. And I don't fully agree with either one of the systems, because I think they all have holes in them. But Romans says what? There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who seeks after God on his own. If God didn't do something to come after Adam and Eve, would they have ever been delivered? Oh, yeah, they were running through the garden looking for him after they sinned, right? Isn't that what the Bible said? No, they're just like us. We run and hide. And that's exactly what Paul says. He says, you know what? Unless God reveals it, because we're going to run from anything that we think is foolish. So God has to come in order for us to do anything toward him. And that's exactly what it is. The revelation by the Holy Spirit comes, arrests our attention, and I believe he arrests everyone's attention. Some of them say, oh, no, it's just this group that he saved. I don't believe that. Because it says what? God is seeking. He doesn't want anyone to perish. But when he comes after us, whatever means that is, we have a chance to respond. Then we don't fully understand everything. But as we trust Christ, the Holy Spirit lives inside of us, and we begin to understand because the Holy Spirit reveals these things to us. Why should we do this? The Holy Spirit tells us that. Why should we not do this? The Holy Spirit tells us that. I understand y'all had some very intriguing questions Wednesday night in the youth group. Is that correct? And here's what I gained from Meredith's explanation of it, okay? Everybody has their own idea the way this thing should be. Is that right? And my second question was this. What was their criteria for that? Where did the Bible say what they were saying? Well, they just feel like that's the way it is. Exactly. So what does that mean? We all just get to decide what we want? No. Without the Holy Spirit, that's the way we operate. But if the Holy Spirit is inside of us, and if we're saved, the Holy Spirit uses God's word to help us understand, oh, no, that ain't right. You know, you can't. I don't care if everybody else in the brothers doing that. You can't do that. That ain't right. See how that works? So Paul is trying to make sure that they understand you cannot separate the message of the cross and the Holy Spirit helping us understand that and not have a changed life. That's the issue. And we're nowadays, we can just live like pagans if we want to because Jesus understands. No, he doesn't. He condemns us for it. What does he say? And who what? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that those who would trust in him would not perish but have everlasting life. But those who do not believe are what? Condemned already. You don't wait for it. You're sitting there condemned already. Oh, well, there's time for it. No, there's not. I'm sorry. Did I just go up a couple decimals? I'm sorry about that. There's so many people that think they're saved and they're not. You said, are you the judge? No, the scripture says that. Why? Because if we're saved, it says that we will not continue to live an ungodly lifestyle. That's what it says. And that's what Paul is saying. Who are you going to follow? You're going to follow the philosophers, or are you going to follow someone who says the message of the cross is a dividing line and you have to have the Holy Spirit to help you understand that? Or you'll think it's okay to live any way you want to live. That's how you break that down. God, through a public act of divine disclosure on the cross, has a plan of redemption. But unless his Holy Spirit helps us understand that, we won't get it. And you what? You know, remember they challenged Jesus. Said, Paul, man, we want the Spirit. How can we buy that thing? Paul said, oh, no, you can't do that. It only comes this way. That's what distinguishes believers from unbelievers. The Holy Spirit working in our life to continually help us. Because here's the way that works. When you finally deal with one sin in your life, you see 10 more. Because you were blind to those 10 while this sin was covering it up. But when you deal with that sin, you say, uh-oh, there's 4 more. Isn't that the way that works? So guess what you mean? What do you mean? It means you're going to keep getting better and better and better the rest of your life. Because every time God helps you deal with one sin and those others rise up and you deal with those, they just keep popping up. You said it's never going in, not in this life. But you're supposed to keep working on it. Isn't that right? That's what the Holy Spirit does. The Spirit of God, in contrast to the spirit of the world. Those who receive God's wisdom, the message of the cross, are distinguished from this age. And that just means the philosophers, the ones who are supposed to know what's going on, the ones who tell us how to live, and, you know, and that's where you get your values from. You know, that's exactly what goes on. Isn't it amazing? If you study church history or if you were alive even 40 years ago and you knew how the church looked at different issues and the way they look at them now, you say, wow, has it changed? It's amazing what used to be sin is not sin anymore from a church perspective. The denomination said, oh, no, you know, we've come up to this place and the philosophers of this age have helped understand we just missed it. You know, now it's okay to do these things where it used to be it wasn't okay. If it was ever sin, guess what? It still is, right? If 5 and 5 are not 11 50 years ago, 5 and 5 are not 11 today. Is that right? What's 5 and 5? Who decided that? Who wrote that mathematical equation? I don't know. But we don't argue that because we know it's right, right? You see how that works? But now everything's open for suggestion. Oh, well, I know you Baptists believe this, but we don't believe that. Okay? Well, just do away with that. What does the scripture say about it? And that's what Paul was trying to take them back to. His point is that the possibility of knowing God and of understanding his ways does not belong. You do not have that natural thing in you. Why? Because of sin. We only care about us. You know, we only want to take pictures of us. Isn't it right? How many selfies have you taken of someone else? You said, that's a poor excuse, but it's one, isn't it? Who's the most important that you take pictures of? Moi. So you think you're not self-centered? Oh, yes, we are. So what do we want to do? What God wants to do or what I want to do? Right. Because Professor Otis over there, who just wrote this book, and he's a PhD believer, he said it was all right now. So that's who we go with. It doesn't matter what the scripture says. Nothing in the wisdom of this age can help us. Nothing in the wisdom of the age can keep you, can change you from being an alcoholic. Nothing in the wisdom of the age can keep you from being a drug addict. Can't do it. You know, it's proven too many times. Only something on the inside of us that changes. You say, well, there are some people. There are. Yeah, but look at the percentages and see how good it is. It's not. You know, that's why, how many years ago? 30 years ago? What's the Latin American country right down across from El Salvador? Starts with it. Nicaragua. Came and asked Leo Humphrey, who was a guy who had four or five missionaries that he kind of funded down there. We went down there with him for a couple of weeks. The government of Nicaragua came to him and asked him, would he come over there and help them, because they had realized what effect he was having on alcoholics in El Salvador. So the government said, what we're doing is not working. Can you help us? So he goes over there with the gospel. That's the only thing that changed somebody's life. That's the only thing that can change us from living like the rest of the world. That's the issue Paul is trying to deal with in this whole thing. He said, who are you going to follow, Corinthians? You're going to follow the philosophers of the world, or are you going to follow the message of the cross? But you can't understand it without the Holy Spirit. We have to hurry. The spirit of the world cannot make sense of the cross. They don't understand it. How can some criminal dying on a cross change my inside? They can't do that. They can't explain that without the Holy Spirit. The natural person and the spiritual person. Paul wants to make sure that the readers fully understand, and that's us, not just the ones at Corinth, their utter dependence on the Holy Spirit. Because nothing else will so quickly. Were they fussing and fighting? Yes, they were. Did they have divisions? Why? Oh, we're going to follow Otis. No, we're going to follow Terry. No, we're going to follow Joel Osteen. No, we're going to follow Charles Stanley. That's exactly what they were doing. And he says, if you want to fix all this mess, you have to understand only the Holy Spirit can help you do that. You can't figure this out on your own. That's why they were fussing and fighting. Were they fussing and fighting? Why did he send them two hard letters? Actually, he sent them four letters. We just don't have two pieces of the other two letters that we have, but we have reference that he sent them in these two letters, but we don't really know other than he got on their case. And then he tried to apologize because he said, man, I got on y'all pretty hard. And then when they responded, he said, well, I'm glad I did. You know, remorse helps people repent. First, Paul is not insisting that a human being without the scripture, without the spirit, is able to figure this out. You can't. It's impossible. Because one does not hurry to grab onto something that they think is foolishness. Isn't that right? You see how this works out? This is a hurried version. We might have to come back to it one this day. In this context, the spiritual man is the Christian. You know, not the ones up here on a higher level of spirit or some kind of spirituality. It's the person who understands what the cross does for fallen man. That's all that is. And it's not a elite group. It's anyone who's truly been saved and has the Holy Spirit living inside of them. And without that, they don't get it. Therefore, their life is not changed. What it means to be spiritual is profoundly tied to the cross. You can't separate that. That's what he means. And nothing else. More precisely, to be spiritual in this passage is to enjoy the gift of the Holy Spirit, and it means understanding and appropriating the message of the cross. As I said last week, I don't really know how many times we ever stop and think about what an awful deal that was. Go back and look at The Passion by Mel Gibson. He's the only one that's ever done anything close to really showing what procedure actually took place when they crucified someone. You know, I don't know if we ever stop and think about it. If we did, I think it would affect how we live our life. To see exactly what Jesus went through. God himself went through just for us. If we understood that whole message and all the ramifications of that, it would affect the way we live our life. And we wouldn't always just go out there and go with the world's idea and always be looking for somewhere. Someone this week said that they were trying to invite someone to come to church here, and they asked him what kind of church it was, and when he told them, he said, oh, no, I can't go there. Y'all don't allow people to drink. I got to go where I can drink. I'm not surprised. I know someone in our extended family. That's exactly what he said. He said, I found a church for me. They don't talk about hell, and it's okay to drink. So he's going to die and go to hell drunk because he still is an alcoholic and will be if that's the way his philosophy. Because why? He's just bought into the system of the world. You send some of the systems of the church or the world, oh, my heavens, there's only a fraction that are not. Paul's point is that truly grasping the truth of the cross and being transformed in your life, you can't separate those. The only way to have a life change is to understand by the power of the Holy Spirit, when you trust Jesus, you understand how significant the cross is in your life, and you can be changed. Without that, you will not. So what are you saying? You don't need to be fooled, and I don't need to be fooled. If we think we can just live like we've always lived and think that we really understand what the cross means, because we don't. Paul continues on with this, chapter 3 and 4, and gets more specific. This is part of it. But we must ask. After Jesus comes and lives, the Holy Spirit is there to help us discern, understand things that we'll never be able to figure out ourselves. And when we see those small little things, our lives will be changed. Why? Because of the cross. And that's it. Lord, thank you. Lord, thank you that you love us. We are an ungrateful, selfish bunch. We think the world exists for us. So when we have a hard time, we want to gripe and complain. And we forget what all you did on the cross so that we could just be free. Lord, thank you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for being patient with us. Lord, I ask that you would just arrest our attention. Everyone in this room, that your Holy Spirit would so convict us and deal with us that we would examine again fresh what all you went through just so our lives could be changed, what you did on the cross in paying that price. And Father, that your Holy Spirit would illuminate our minds, that we wouldn't give in to the philosophies of the world or our school where we are or where we work, but we would allow you to change our lives and we would live different so that you'll be glorified. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Always, I just remind you, if you ever have a question, I know we do not have a public invitation per se, but if you ever have a question and you'd like to talk to any of us, you can make a note on one of your cards and someone will try to get with you and try to sit down and see what the scripture says about your issue. But the main thing is that you see that and do not let it go without dealing with it.